Okay, shalom everybody. Today is Wednesday, January 24th, 2018, and we are here at United Orthodox Synagogues in Houston, Texas, for our weekly lunch and learn. And today's topic, this week's parsha, is Parshat Bishalach. And we are going to be discussing what happens right when Bnei Yisrael leave Mitzrayim, and right before they enter into the Yam Suf, right before they go into the sea. And there's a interesting, and what at first seems clear, but maybe not so clear, interaction between God and Moshe, between God and Moses, and that's what we're going to focus on, okay? So let's just set the scene by reading some of the verses prior to the one we're going to look at. If you look on page 368, after Bnei Yisrael has left, Paro changes his mind, and he's not so happy that he let Bnei Yisrael leave Egypt. Verse 5, Pasuk Hey, Vayugad lemelech Mitzrayim ki varach ha'am, v'yafech levav Paro v'avadav el ha'am, v'yomru mazot asinu, ki shilachnu et Yisrael me'avdeinu. What have we done, Paro says, that we have sent away Israel from serving us? And so he gets his chariots ready. Vayasor ad rechbo v'yet amo lakachimo. He harnessed his chariot and attracted his people with him. Like that's interesting. He had to do a little work, it sounds like. At this point, most of the Egyptians were maybe at the point where they were saying, well, let's just let them go and put an end to this terrible chapter of our history. But Paro would not have it, and he rallies the troops, and he takes elite soldiers with him. The next pasuk says, Vayikach shesh miot rechav bachur, v'chol rechav Mitzrayim v'shalishim al kulo. 600 elite chariots, and all the chariots of Egypt with officers on them all. And they go after Bnei Yisrael. So Paro changes his mind. Then Bnei Yisrael, in turn, gets very nervous. Pasuk Tet, verse 9. Vayirdifu Mitzrayim achareihem, vayasigu otam chonim al hayam, kol sus rechav paro, ufarashav v'chelo al pi hachirot, lifnei bal tzifon. The Egyptians pursue them, and they find them, and they're cornered. Right, they are in big trouble, okay, and Bnei Yisrael then cries out to God in the middle of verse 10. Verse 11, pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayomru al Moshe hamibli ein kivrim b'Mitzrayim likachtanu lamut b'midbar mazot asita lanu lotzianu b'Mitzrayim. This is really amazing. Are there no graves in Egypt that you've taken us to die in the desert, in the wilderness? What is it that you have taken us out of Egypt? And halo zeh hadavar asher dibarnu elechem Mitzrayim limor chadami menu v'navdat Mitzrayim kitov lanu avod Mitzrayim mutenu midbar. We told you so, they say to him. Right? We told you when you first came up with this harebrained cockamamie scheme of getting us out of Egypt. We told you the first time. Right? Is this not the statement that we made to you in Egypt, saying, "Let us be, and we will serve Egypt, for it is better than we should serve Egypt. Then we should die in the wilderness." This is worthwhile of discussing in its own right, in the sense of how hard it is for people, even enslaved people, to envision a new reality. Right? There are chronicles of slaves in other situations where they couldn't even envision another reality. They couldn't even imagine that they were ever going to break free of their current situation, and the thought of doing so, and all the changes, and all the uncertainty that would bring, leads them to this place. Let's just stay here. It's terrible, but at least we know what to do, right? And so that's what they say at this point, Moshe. Let's stay. Yeah, Shula.
I have some problems here.
Okay.
First of all, they never explain why Paro changed his mind. Second, it says here, "Kibarach ha'am." If he gave them permission, why did they have to say "barach"?
Right? Right?
So those two things I'm troubled with.
Okay, so if I didn't read the Pasuk, but if you go back to page 368 to Pasuk Dalet, God is speaking here. He says, talk to Bnei Israel and you're going to leave. And then Paro's not going to be happy. And I, he says, v'chizakti et lev Paro v'radaf acharihem. I shall strengthen the heart of Paro and he will pursue them. So God is really behind this thing. And ki barach, well, it could be because from Paro's perspective, right? He really wasn't, in his new perspective, they were running away from his perspective. Good question, Shula. Excellent. It's good to have you back. Okay. Now, let's get to the pasuk that we want to focus on. After Bnei Israel expresses their doubt as to Moshe's ability to free them, Moshe tries to calm them down. Vayomer Moshe el ha'am, al tira'u, hityatzavu ureu et yeshuat Hashem, asher yaseh lachem hayom, ki asher ri'item et Mitzrayim hayom, lo tosifu lirotam od ad olam. Don't worry, he says. You're about to see great things. And also, what you're not going to see is the Egyptians ever again. Right? As you see them today, you will never see them again. And then, something happens. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, ma tetzak elai, daber el b'nei Yisrael vayisau. God says to Moshe, why do you cry out to me? Speak to the children of Israel and let them journey forth. That's the pasuk I want to talk about. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, ma tetzak elai. Why are you crying out to me? Daber el b'nei Yisrael vayisau. Tell the Jewish people, and get them going. So, my question to you is, what's your question on this pasuk? We've gone from Paro's change of heart, to Bnei Yisrael, the Jewish people, panicking, to God assuring the Jewish people through Moshe, don't worry, it's all going to be okay. And then God saying to Moshe, Matitzak elai, don't stop crying out to me, just go. There, it seems to me that something's missing here. Anyone pick up on it? Excellent. Thank you, Nitza. The pasuk never tells us that Moshe cries out to Hashem. In fact, in the previous pasuk, Moshe is a good soldier. Moshe does exactly what it seems like you would want your leader to do at this point. Rally the troops, give them confidence, tell them that I have a plan. We're not flying by night here, we're not flying blind. God's going to take care of it. And all of a sudden, God says, stop kvetching. Right? But we don't see anywhere that Moshe is doing that. What we see actually is Moshe is doing, from the text, Moshe is doing what we would expect him to do. So that's the question. I have another question. Let's say Moshe is crying. Obviously, he is. Otherwise, God, well, not so obvious. But let's say Moshe is crying. Why would God tell him not to? Where are they?
Because he already gave him the solution. Why would he cry again?
But where are they? At this point, it's true. Promises, promises, promises. But what have you done for me lately? Where are they? Who's behind them?
The Egyptians.
And what's in front of them?
The Red Sea.
What's he supposed to do? Build a boat? Right? The whole time they've been relying on God. And this, if you remember, by the way, this is also an interesting thing to note. The whole entire story of the Exodus from Egypt begins only when Bnei Yisrael start crying. Let's look in Parshat Shemot for a minute. Right after the second Paro dies, okay, I'm trying to find the pasuk. Page 301, pasuk Chaf Dalet, 24. Vayishma Elokim et Nakatam. God heard their moaning. And God remembered this covenant with Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Vayar Elohim et Bnei Yisrael. God saw the children of Israel, presumably they're suffering. Vayada Elohim, and God knew. And right away, Moshe is introduced as the one who's going to liberate Bnei Yisrael. This is on page 300 and 301. So what do you mean, Matitzak Eli? The only reason this whole Exodus thing, this whole redemption thing got started is because we started crying out to you. Now I have the Egyptians behind me. I have a sea in front of me. What do you expect me to do? I have no weapons. I have a bunch of people who are traumatized from being enslaved for hundreds of years. What do you mean, Matitzak Eli? So those are the two questions. First question that Nitza raised is, why does the Torah tell, why does God tell, why does the Torah record that God tells Moshe to stop crying? There's no record of him crying. And second of all, even if he was crying, what's wrong with that? What, he had no other weapon at his disposal other than prayer. Yeah, Dov.
Isn't there an Agadah that says that the sea didn't split until Nachshon jumped in?
There is such an Agadah.
Yes. In other words, what are you crying? Go, move.
Really?
Go forward. That's what they said.
Yes. What do you think about that, though? What? Just jump into the sea?
Yeah, it's a little loony.
It's a little loony, yeah? A little loony. Right? What do I mean? Now, by the way, I will tell you that this is, in fact, you mentioned one Agadah, but the Gemara in Masechet Sota, on this very Pasuk, essentially says the same thing that you said, Dov, which is, at this point, the Gemara says, Moshe was engaged in lengthy prayer. God said to him, my dear ones are about to drown in the sea, and you are engaging in prayer? What then should I do? Asked Moshe. God responded, speak to the children of Israel and have them journey forth. So let's just stop there for a second. What happened in that conversation?
God told him, stop praying and get some more oxygen.
Yeah, but something else happened that we gloss over when we read this Gemara. God answered Moshe's prayer, right? God says, stop fetching, go. Oh, and by the way, when you go, I'm going to open up the sea.
Yeah.
It's going to be a great miracle. You're going to walk through on dry land, and all the Egyptians are going to die in a blaze of glory behind you. So despite the fact that God tells Moshe to stop fetching, it worked because Moshe is paralyzed at this point. And so God says, okay, you shouldn't be praying now, but I'm going to tell you what to do anyway. Right? If God really meant it, he would have said, stop praying. And when Moshe would have said, okay, what am I supposed to do? God should have said, figure it out.
No, have faith in me.
Exactly. That comes back to my point, which really God does answer his prayer, despite that it's misplaced, and according to the Gemara, but what underlines the Gemara here, undergirds the Gemara, is that even though God told him, you shouldn't be engaged in this lengthy prayer, you should just go, didn't really mean just go. He meant go and I'm going to make it all okay.
Yeah, but how do we...
Right, it's like a parent kicking their kid out of the house with a trust fund. Okay.
Yeah, but the kid knows he has a trust fund.
Right.
But Moshe didn't know.
Well, Moshe did know. We're going to get back to that. But right away, the sea splits.
There's something else they could have done. They could have fought back, even though they knew they weren't going to win. We're not going to... We're going to fight. Because they went out armed. It tells us they went out armed.
That's not so clear. Chamushim. Well, okay. You're right. That's pshat. You're right. That's true.
So they could have said, you know.
I have to tell you though, if I had a gun, it wouldn't do me much good. I don't know how to use it.
That was the attitude of the partisans against the Nazis. And then they couldn't defeat the Nazis, but it's better to fight.
Okay. To go down fighting. And you know what? It's interesting because it's never.
Right after this, they do fight against Amalek.
Amalek.
How soon after this was that?
Right. Amalek. That's true. They had another option, but it's not entertained here. You're right.
Could God possibly...
They didn't fight. Well, here they didn't fight.
No,
but what Dov is saying is that right after they got out of the sea, Amalek attacks them, and they do fight. So they had it in them, but not here. Well, here also...
I mean, it's much...
God had other plans. God wanted to destroy... God wanted to destroy...
Fighting chariots don't have a chance, nonetheless.
Yeah. All right, so let's see a couple of the commentaries who try to tackle this issue that we've raised. You don't have them in front of you. We'll talk about the Ralbag first. Okay, the Ralbag we've discussed before. Rashi quotes the Gemara, right? Rashi quotes the Gemara, Lamanu Shaya Moshe Omedim Et Palel. We learned that Moshe was standing and praying. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo et ata laharich b'tfilah she Yisrael netunin b'tzara. This is not a time for you to be davening when the Jews are suffering. Right? Go, you know, but, although it's interesting, right? If we look at the Rashi, right? It leaves it open, by the way, Dov, to Moshe's choice. The way that Rashi understands this, it leaves it open to Moshe's choice of what to do. He simply says, this is not a time to daven when the Jews are in distress. You fill in the ending on your own. You could march into the sea and hope for the best, or you could turn around and fight and hope for the best. So Rashi's interpretation, does in fact leave room for the fighting option, but that's not what happened.
Is davening what you say davening, what we think of davening now, or was he talking to God?
That's what davening is, talking to God.
I know, but...
No, he wasn't putting on his tefillin and saying Ashrei, he was saying help.
Okay, so he was talking to God, but they're using the same vernacular. That's
praying,
all.
Praying. Yeah, that's what it means. That's
maybe God is saying, it's okay to pray, you should pray to me, but you also have to be proactive. You have to do something.
Yes, of course, that's right.
I'm praying, you've got to go and try and do something yourself.
Yes, absolutely. You have to go do something yourself. You have to take some initiative. And it can't only be reliance on God. There has to be reliance on God coupled with initiative. Absolutely. That's the message of the – it seems to me that is one of the messages of the Gemara and the way that Rashi notes it as well. You have to do something. Absolutely. Okay. Now
– Korava Avodah, right?
Right. Exactly. Right. Okay. So the Ralbag – says as follows. He says, "Yitaken shemoshi atzoek el Hashem yitale sheyatzilat Yisrael miyad Mitzrayim sheyukruvim lahem ma'od." Moshe takes the Ralbag takes the standard approach of the Gemara, which is also Rashi's approach, which is Moshe was in fact praying to God that he should save them from the Egyptians who were quickly approaching. The challenge also here is that Moshe was already told that God was going to destroy Paro. I'm going to find the pasuk in a second. Where God says this. If you look back in Pasuk Dalid on page 368, that's where he says he's going to harden his heart. Just give me 1 second. There it says, that's it, that's the verse, Pasuk 4, that's the verse. And I shall strengthen the heart of Paro, and he will pursue them, and I will be glorified through Paro and his entire army, and Egypt will know that I am Hashem. Meaning God tells Paro that I am going to be glorified through Egypt. What does that mean?
He's going to show them.
He's going to destroy them, so don't worry. So this also raises the question of why Moshe was crying out. He already knew what the end of the story was going to be. Moshe was given the punchline before the joke. Right? Moshe knows, as they're standing at the sea, Moshe doesn't know exactly what's going to happen, but he knows that it's going to be okay. Which raises another question as to why he's crying. So that's what the Ralbag says. The Ralbag says, even though Moshe was told by God that everything's going to be okay, he's still crying out. Why? Despite him knowing that everything's going to be okay, he doesn't. He still cries out to God. The Ralbag is actually raising something very interesting. Moshe is saying, a few minutes ago, 2 hours ago, 3 hours ago, I don't know, God told me that he's going to be glorified through the downfall of Egypt. But I don't know if that still stands. That was 4 hours ago. So I'm praying, the Ralbag is saying, so Moshe is praying in order to reestablish his worthiness and his credentials of deserving this type of miracle. Meaning Moshe is so humble that he's not sure if the promise that God made to him X minutes, hours ago, still stands. So he prays according to the Ralbag. The Ralbag says, if you want a miracle, you have to have this connection to God. And the way that we connect to God is through prayer. So then God says, no, no, Moshe, that doesn't apply to you. Matetzakilai, you're constantly connected. Right? You have, your connection is never in question. So matetzakilai, don't worry. Meaning, the Ralbag is trying to limit the damage here. It sounds like Moshe doesn't have any faith. In Pasuk Dalid, God told him everything's going to be okay. And then in Pasuk Tetvav, right? In Pasuk 4, it's going to be okay. In Pasuk 15, all of a sudden Moshe doesn't think it's going to be okay. Where's Moshe's faith in the promise? And how come Moshe didn't tell the Jewish people about the promise? Answers the Ralbag. Because Moshe didn't, it's not that he didn't believe in God, he didn't believe in himself. He thought he was no longer worthy. So he's trying to reestablish his worthiness by praying. And God says, don't worry, you're Moses. Everyone's going to really love you when this book is over. Right? And you don't have to do anything to reestablish your bona fides. Just go. Daber b'nei Yisrael b'yisrael. Go. Yes, I know it sounds crazy. Go, walk into the water. But you're good, Moshe. So that's the way the Ralbag deals with it. I mean, he doesn't answer the question as to, it doesn't say anywhere that Moshe was crying, but we just have to assume that that's what the text means. He wasn't crying, he was praying in order to reestablish his connection to God, and God says, Matetzakelai, every other guy, man or woman, they have to pray to establish their connection to me, but not you, Moshe. That's the Ralbag. Yeah, yes.
Yeah, but Hashem is really not interested to impress the Egyptians. That they should recognize him. He's really interested that Bnei Israel would recognize it, that he is great, that he's making the miracle for them.
So Shula, you're raising a great question, which goes back to the beginning of the book of Shemot, which is what's the purpose of the Makot? Right? Is the purpose of the Makot to free the Jews? I don't think so. God could have freed the Jews without the plagues. Is the purpose of the Makot to impress the Jewish people? Maybe. Is the purpose of the plagues to impress the Egyptians? Maybe. In fact, it says a few times that they will know that I am God. Because you have to remember, God is now in a face-off against a man who thinks he's God. So God has to prove to the Egyptians that the guy that they think is God, Paro, is not really a God.
Is he really thinking
I am.
That he's in competition?
Well, no, but he wants to teach them a lesson. You're right, correct. I don't think he really believes he's going to lose. He's not nervous about losing, but he does want to make the point to the Jewish people. So it's an interesting question as to what the purpose of this whole thing is. Here, here you can make the argument that it's in order to, again, show the Egyptians that God is God and Paro isn't. Yeah.
That seems B'nai Israel are complaining.
Right.
He makes some kind of a miracle or something like he had before. Enough of the plague, we saw them. Done.
That wasn't enough.
Probably not enough.
Right.
And
right.
He's praying. He needs something and that
okay.
does not give him.
Well, he does in the end. He splits the sea and destroys
and
the Egyptians.
Wait till the end.
Well, no, he's been given plagues. There's been plagues. There's been 10 plagues.
Wait. People need
right. It could be, especially when they're up against certain destruction. Okay, let's learn the Ramban, who offers two other explanations of this pasuk, right? You think at first this pasuk seems straightforward, but now we're seeing it's not so straightforward at all. Okay, so again, one of the questions is why would Moshe cry out to God here if God had already promised him that he was going to be saved? So the Ralbag says because Moshe didn't have faith in himself. The Ramban quotes the Ibn Ezra. He says, Amar Rabbi Avraham, Ki Moshe keneged kol Yisrael. Rabbi Avram Ibn Ezra says that Moshe here is addressed as the representative of the Jews, meaning Moshe's not crying. Now if you read the pasuk, that makes it works, because in the previous pasuk, psukim, in the previous set of verses, who's kvetching? The Jewish people are kvetching. And God says to Moshe, not as Moshe the individual, but as Moshe the representative of the Jewish people, why are you people crying?
But it's in singular.
But it's a singular. You could say the nation is a single gush, is a single unit. But even though, but Dov, he's speaking to Moshe. But he's speaking to Moshe. Moshe, you're the representative of the Jewish people. Why are they crying? Moshe wasn't crying. Moshe, why are the Jewish people? Why are the Jewish people crying? Okay. Shehayutso akim lo kemoshe marvi etzaku b'nei Yisrael Hashem. They, in fact, as it says in verse 10, were crying. So that's the Ibn Ezra, meaning Moshe, and what's the answer why the Jewish people were crying and Moshe wasn't? Why wasn't Moshe crying?
Because he had faith.
Because he knew. Because back in Pasuk Dalet, God told him. But what did Moshe not do? He failed to tell them yet. He tells them now in this set, in 11, 12, 13, and 14, he tells them. But up until that point, he hadn't told them. So they're crying. Right? That's what, but Moshe's not.
He did not communicate immediately.
Yeah, correct.
In 13, he tells him to, but Moshe himself tells him to shut up. Tem tacharishun, that's probably the best translation of tacharishun. He tells him shut up.
Right.
Right? Which means.
But it doesn't work, apparently. They're still kvetching, and God says, why are they crying?
But he tells him, don't worry, you're going to see a miracle. He makes
right, but he doesn't.
Knows.
Right, correct. That's right, but there's some gap between the time that Moshe knows and the time that the Jews know. And it's in that gap that the Jewish people are crying. And God says, why are they crying?
So he says to them, look, they're crying. He said, don't worry, God's going to save you, and I'll just shut up
right.
and watch, right, apparently. And then God says to him, why are they crying?
Because they didn't stop crying.
Ah, okay.
They're still crying, right? Okay, so the Ramban doesn't like this. The Im Kain Lama Amar Matitzak. But if so, as the Ibn Ezra says, why did God say, why do you cry out? V'ra oilahem litzok. What is B'nai Israel supposed to do at this point? Of course they're supposed to cry. So the Ramban doesn't like the Ibn Ezra's answer. The Ibn Ezra, again, tries to defend Moshe by saying it wasn't really Moshe crying, it was the Jews crying. So what's wrong with that? Again, what the whole time, they're totally in God's they're totally relying on God. From the minute this story begins until now, they're totally reliant on God's favor, and they've been trained. So what are they supposed to do? So the Ramban offers his own answer. He says, V'ulai yomar ma tanichem litzok. Perhaps God was saying, why do you allow them to continue crying? Daber lahem vayisa'u, Ki kivara marti lecha v'ikavda. Speak to them and let them journey forth. For I have already told you that I will be glorified through Paro. Meaning, you're not communicating well. Right? Job one of the leader is to communicate.
You told us to God the first time you met him.
That they weren't going to listen to him. Right.
He said, I'm not a good communicator.
Right. That's true. Right. But God would not take no for an answer. Right? So you should have told them. Okay, then he goes on. Rabotenu amru sheya Moshe tzoek mitpalel. So I'm sorry. So the Ramban, in trying to sort of make peace with the Ibn Ezra's answer, says what it means is, of course, the Bnei Yisrael should have been crying, but that's only because you, Moshe, didn't do your job in terms of getting Bnei Yisrael on the program and telling them that it's all going to be okay. Then he offers another answer. He goes back to the original answer of the Gemara, that Moshe was indeed crying and davening. And this is the most sound approach, he says. So then the question is, why was Moshe crying? If he had already been told back in Pasuk Dalet that everything was going to be okay. He says, Ki lo yada ma ya'aseh. This is fascinating. Lo yada ma ya'aseh. He did not know what he should do at this point. Even though God had told Moshe that I, meaning God, am going to be glorified through Paro, who lo haya yodea eich yitnaheg. He didn't know what to do at this point. Yeah, I know everything's going to be okay. What am I supposed to do? I could run to the left. I could run to the right. I can go into the water. I could fight. I don't know what I'm supposed to do now. Okay? And so God says, Aki hu al svat hayam v'hasonei rodef u'masig. For he was at the edge of the sea, and the enemy was pursuing to overtake him. V'yamit palel sheyorenu Hashem derech yivchar. He's saying to God, praying to God, tell me what to do. That's the meaning of why do you cry out? Shayita tsarich lishol ma tase. This is so interesting. He says, don't cry, don't panic. Just ask me. Just ask me what God says. Just ask me what am I supposed to do, right? Ve'en lecha tsarich litzok. There's no need for you. For you to scream. I've already told you that I'm going to be glorified through Paro's downfall. Scripture tells us about Moshe's crying because he was included in the rest of Israel whose outcry is mentioned explicitly. So here, this is actually very interesting, right? The Ramban is opening up an interesting discussion. He's saying sometimes you feel you're helpless, and all you can do is cry out to God, save me, save me, save me. But sometimes you're not helpless. You just don't know what to do. You have options. You just don't know which one to use. And then don't panic. Don't cry. Don't scream. Just ask. Right? Think about it. What are my options here? What am I supposed to do? Right? And that's exactly what the Ramban says. Shayita tsarich lishol matase. You should have asked me what to do. There is no need for you to cry, for I've already informed you that you will be glorified through Paro, meaning through Paro's downfall. Mm-hmm. That's the way the Ramban deals with it. Matitzakilai is not a question as to why does Moshe turn to God at this point. Of course Moshe should turn to God at this point, because Moshe doesn't know what to do. But he shouldn't turn to God and ask him, And with a panic, with a cry, like there's no hope. You know there's hope. I told you there's hope. You just don't know how to sort of access that hope. So I'll tell you if you would ask, right? So that's we have on the one hand, we have Rashi following the Gemara that basically says this is no time for crying. You should do something, okay? Then we have the Ralbag who says Moshe had no faith in himself. So he's crying to try to reestablish himself as being connected to God. We have the Ibn Ezra who says Moshe wasn't crying, the Jewish people were crying, and the Jewish people were crying because God, Moshe hadn't told them what was going to happen. And finally, we have the Ramban who says, no, it was in fact Moshe. And his sin, or his wrong move, wasn't in fact that he turned to God, his wrong move that he turned to God in the wrong fashion. Right, there are sometimes you panic, and sometimes right. We this is just an interesting thought experiment in the way we pray. Right, not every prayer necessarily needs to be I've lost all hope, I'm panicking, the end is near. Sometimes you pray to God just for because you feel you have options. You're just not really sure which option to take. That's a very different type of prayer than the tzaka prayer. Of crying out of a sense of complete helplessness. Now, we have a question from Facebook Live. It says this. Where does the Ramban get the idea that Hashem replies to Moshe saying, just ask what to do? That's a good question. It's unclear where the Ramban gets this idea from, but what the Ramban is stuck with is the following. He's stuck with why would God be upset with Moshe for crying out at this point? Right, matitzakilai. So the Ramban has to come up with some explanation of what was wrong with the tzaka, because that's clearly a problem. God's clearly annoyed with Moshe. So you have a couple of options. Why he's annoyed, and the Ramban on his own, and this is also I think the answer to your question, Dina, is that when you're interpreting psukim and trying to understand them, you don't necessarily need a source. Right, the Ramban doesn't have a source. It's his interpretation of the Pesukim. and you're entitled to your interpretation of the pasuk. Some commentaries like to heavily rely on Chazal, but some commentaries, like in this case the Ramban, is not relying on Chazal. He's relying on his own brain and on his own understanding of the psukim and trying to make sense of the flow of the psukim within the context of the entire story. So, okay, there you have it, everybody. Have a wonderful day. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Give me, Marty.